What happens when a nation of underdogs transforms into a nation of victims? In Nation of Victims, Vivek Ramaswamy explores how America's defining narrative has shifted from overcoming adversity to weaponizing it. This cultural transformation threatens the very foundation of American identity and excellence. The contrast is stark. While underdogs struggle and overcome challenges through their own efforts, victims demand that others solve their problems. This shift isn't merely semantic. It represents a fundamental change in how Americans view themselves and their relationship with society. Consider the difference between the Williams sisters and Jussie Smollett. Venus and Serena embody the American underdog spirit, rising from Compton's public courts to tennis greatness through relentless work. Smollett, conversely, staged a hate crime for attention and sympathy. When Serena faced genuine hostility at Indian Wells in 2001, she played through the boos and won. Years later, Naomi Osaka would withdraw from tournaments over press conferences and cry when a single fan yelled criticism. What changed in our culture to make victimhood more attractive? America's origin story is fundamentally one of underdogs. Colonists standing up to the world's most powerful empire. Throughout history, we've celebrated those who rose from humble beginnings through grit and determination. From born-in-a-log-cabin politicians to Horatio Alger's rags-to-riches tales. True underdogs maintain their mentality through constant reinvention. Michael Jordan, despite becoming a basketball legend, still motivated himself with perceived slights, even mentioning in his Hall of Fame speech the high school sophomore who made varsity when he didn't. Today's America has flipped this script, rewarding victimhood across institutions. Professors have faked minority identities for positions, while college admissions show Asian applicants needing significantly higher test scores. Harvard's own review found Asian American admissions would rise from 19% to 43% based on academics alone. When success comes from emphasizing obstacles rather than overcoming them, we undermine the resilience that built American greatness. The seeds of modern American victimhood were planted after the Civil War. Despite fighting to preserve slavery, the defeated Confederacy crafted a powerful lost cause narrative that transformed them from rebels into noble victims of Northern aggression. At Gettysburg, Confederate General Longstreet objected to Lee's doomed Pickett's charge. When the attack failed catastrophically, Lee admitted fault. Yet history, written largely by Southern sympathizers, vilified Longstreet for becoming a Republican, acknowledging slavery's role, and criticizing Lee's strategy. This historical amnesia persists today. Americans remain divided over Confederate monuments and military base names, with many expecting another Civil War. The First Civil War never truly ended, but evolved into cultural battles over America's memory. The Lost Cause transformed a failed rebellion into a righteous struggle against oppression, creating a template for future victimhood narratives across the political spectrum. America's constitutional war began after the Civil War. The 1873 Slaughterhouse Cases dealt the first blow when the Supreme Court nullified the 14th Amendment's Privileges and Immunities Clause, reducing it to merely protecting interstate travel. This prevented America from developing jurisprudence connecting citizenship with fundamental rights. Instead, the court located rights in the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses, protecting people rather than citizens. This created substantive due process, allowing judges to strike down laws they personally disliked. After abandoning meaningful citizenship discourse, the court began defining victimhood. Equal protection law evolved into rules reflecting each group's efforts to claim power through victimhood. The three-tiered scrutiny approach forces groups to compete for limited victim status. As Justice Scalia warned, tools created to fight oppression eventually get used by opponents. We now face an impasse between small states unwilling to surrender their constitutional protections and large states unwilling to accept them, threatening the union itself. When a legal system rewards victim status rather than equal citizenship, it creates perverse incentives that divide Americans. During a family reunion, I had a confrontation with my aunt's neighbor that nearly turned violent. When I politely asked him to mow differently to avoid covering the driveway with grass clippings, he became enraged, charging at me, referencing our skin tones, and threatening to get his gun. My educated liberal friends suggested I'd been racist for omitting that the neighbor was black. They offered an alternative narrative. A black man peacefully mowing was confronted by a stranger, his anger a justified response to perceived racial threat. This interpretation suggested he viewed our interaction through a racial victimhood lens, preventing resolution of a simple disagreement, a microcosm of America today. Critical race theory divides the world into oppressors and victims, originating from the Frankfurt School's application of Marxist theories to social systems. After George Floyd's death, CRT entered mainstream consciousness with competing approaches to racial inequity. The policing narrative reveals a disconnect. 75% of black Minneapolis residents opposed cutting police forces after Floyd's death, while 81% of black Americans nationwide want police presence maintained or increased. When victimhood narratives override lived experiences, we risk policies that harm the very communities they claim to help. Both political parties now embrace victimhood narratives. Stacey Abrams claimed victory despite losing Georgia's 2018 gubernatorial race by 55,000 votes, alleging voter suppression. Donald Trump similarly made 2020 election fraud claims that failed in court. Both promote the toxic idea that only elections they win are legitimate. Sarah Palin's libel lawsuit against the New York Times exemplifies this trend. Despite the Times correcting their error, she chose victimhood over moving forward, ignoring the high legal standard for public figure defamation. Republicans have weakened their position by adopting their opponents' tactics, sacrificing principles for political gain. Manufacturing's decline stems from policies that benefited America broadly: the dollar as reserve currency, knowledge industry prioritization, and free trade. These grow the economy but burden blue-collar workers we've failed to help adapt. When parties compete for victim status rather than offering solutions, we get grievance politics instead of governance. America, like ancient Rome, has fallen into the bread and circuses trap. Politicians bribing citizens with benefits while civic responsibility declines. Rome's currency collapsed after the Hannibal Wars, reaching 1,000% inflation, with denarii containing just 0.5% silver. Without new territories to conquer, Rome's economy failed. America follows this pattern, printing money for government spending while citizens demand more benefits. When nations peak, focus shifts from wealth creation to wealth distribution. Victimhood narratives become tools for claiming government resources, ultimately shrinking the economy. Peter Thiel called wokeness Christianity without forgiveness and suggested that recognizing everyone as both victim and oppressor would neutralize victimhood as a social weapon. Darryl Davis exemplifies moving beyond victimhood. Growing up outside America's racial lens, he never defined himself by race. When confronted by white supremacists, he saw them as confused rather than seeing himself as a victim. His question, "How can you hate me when you don't even know me?" shows that racism cannot survive genuine connection. America must choose between competitive victimhood or reclaiming the underdog spirit that built our nation.